The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. It is my pleasure to have somebody on the line today that we get to hear his voice every day here on The Shepherd, one of the live programs that comes to us from the West Coast, actually. It's a live call-in show, and it is wonderful, called Core Christianity. And the host of that show is Adriel Sanchez, along with Bill Meyer. Adriel's on the line with me today. You've been on once before. Great to have you back.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear, Mike, that you guys haven't gotten tired of my voice yet. I mean, every day, and then now this little interview that we get to do, is so good to be here with you.
Well, it is wonderful to have you on. I met you back in the 2020, that fabled 2020 conference, the NRB, in February, and that was right before all of the rock and roll things with COVID kind of shut everybody down. The last conference, really, that a lot of us went to in 2020 was that one. And that's where I had the opportunity to meet you. And back then, you were rolling out this program. In fact, we got to be at kind of a preview meeting with Ambassador, and you were there. That was an opportunity to get to hear the heart for this show, which is a live call-in show. How intimidating is it to be the Bible answer guy?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of prayer that goes into it, you know. And at first, I was actually wondering, you know, once we go live, is it going to be just over-the-top intimidating? But by the grace of God, things have gone well, and it's actually a lot of fun. You know, I think of it a lot like I think of maybe having a conversation with someone at a coffee shop or something like that, you know, about the things of the Lord. And that's what I love to do. So it's actually been not as intimidating as you might think.
Well, that is really good to know, because doing live programs, there's we were just talking about it. You know, you have a technical problem when you're live. There's no room for error, is it? There's no room at all.
Yeah. That's why I think, I mean, the prayer component is so important, obviously. Fortunately, I don't have to handle the technical stuff. There's a whole team behind the scenes that's dealing with those problems. So I just have to focus on the Bible. And that's where I like to focus. So it's good for me.
Now, you have a co-host with you, Bill Meyer. Tell our listeners, I'm sure they recognize his name. Tell them a little bit about Bill.
Yeah, Bill is just a wonderful brother, and I've had the privilege of getting to know him more and more as we've done this broadcast. But he's trained in therapy and counseling. He is just a gifted communicator. Really, I think, adds another component to the broadcast. It's so helpful, pastoral, caring voice. And so Bill has just become such a good friend, and we enjoy every day being able to answer questions about the faith.
Now, you're coming to us from California. Is that where Bill is physically located as well?
No. So Bill is actually in Minnesota. And so we link up, you know, via Zoom before each broadcast, and then we connect. And it's pretty amazing, actually, that we can do the live broadcast together, even though we're in two different states.
In two different time zones.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. And to think that we live in a day where technology, with all the bad that's there, and there's plenty of that to go around, there's also wonderful aspects of the current abilities that we have, technologically speaking, especially in the area of communications, that makes this possible, that he could be in Minnesota. I believe it was San Diego, if my memory serves me correctly.
That's right.
You're in that gorgeous area in Southern California is in a different time zone. And in many ways, many people would say almost like a different world from where we are in Florida. You guys have had a very difficult time. Since we last talked, things in California politically, with regards to COVID, you guys have had quite a year out there.
Yeah, you know, when you were talking about our meeting initially at NRB, I was just thinking, boy, so much has happened since then. Fortunately, here in Southern California, at least where I'm at in San Diego, things have really cooled down quite a bit. And so You know, that's been a big blessing. But we have been clinging to the Lord and just looking to Him and grateful for His provision during this time. And I'm grateful also that things are beginning to normalize. We'll see how things progress.
Hmm. So tell us a little bit about the church. I know you talked about that last time, which would now be, well, a little bit over a year ago when we were on with you before. What's been happening there in your church?
Yeah, by the grace of God, you know, we've had some steady growth coming out of COVID and the initial lockdowns. So we're really thankful for that. Believe it or not, we are coming up on our 7-year anniversary as a church. So I planted the church just 7 years ago now. And we're just, you know, as we look back, really, really thankful to the Lord for how He's sustained us. And we're just staying faithful, you know, preaching the word of God and caring for the sheep. I think that's what it's all about. I think that's what God has called me to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great to be able to do that, to pastor the church, and then also to be able to, you know, use the technology that you mentioned to continue to get the word out to a broader audience as well via Core Christianity.
Now you have, I'm sure, as most churches, the ability to live stream and all of that. When did you get to actually go back meeting live?
Boy, we did a number of things early on. So for a while, you know, with just the live stream thing, especially with the initial lockdowns. And then in Southern California, there were these drive-in services that we began doing. And that was actually a lot of fun. I preached on top of a Jeep in the middle of a big parking lot out here in San Diego, and did a FM transmitter. And so that was actually our first gathering together again. It was sort of a strange worship service, but it was really a huge blessing for so many of us to be able to come together, even in that strange way, to hear the word of God and to fellowship with each other. And then we were meeting outside for a while. We've been meeting indoors. I want to say it was back around Easter, we started meeting indoors again, and we've been indoors since.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has just continued to bless us. Praise God. No severe outbreaks or anything like that. And so, we're thankful. We're worshiping the Lord and continuing to draw near to Him.
You know, there's so much national news always coming out about and from California. With what's going on with the governor there, what's the mood? What would be the feel of the people in your church toward the things that and the way things are being handled in this the first year of the Biden administration with all that's going on? And I'm sure you're affected a lot with the border stuff that's happening. What's going on with regards to those items?
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm sure, you know, this has been a really divisive time for our country, and then that has sort of trickled into the church. And so I feel like one of my jobs as a pastor is to help Christians think about these issues with wisdom and with charity as well. Obviously, you know, I think of the exhortation that the Apostle Paul gives in 1 Timothy 2, where he says, "I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." And of course, as Paul was writing that, you know, the authorities in that day weren't the greatest. So, you know, we're trying to encourage believers to be committed to prayer, to be committed to charity, to continuing to grow together under the ministry of the word. And that's been my goal. And as you can imagine, even within the church, you know, there are all sorts of differences of opinion, and people are wrestling through these things. And so just trying to help folks do that with wisdom and according to God's word.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're right. When you think about what Paul went through, what the disciples went through, what the church was going through back in that time, it was under the Roman Empire, and things were anything but easy, anything. And especially when you realize that Paul wrote so much of his material that is now the Bible, he wrote that while he was in chains in a prison.
Yeah. Yeah. It really puts things in perspective for us. And it's really great to go back to those Pauline epistles and the exhortations that we see in the New Testament about what it looks like to engage with broader society when it feels like you know, things are really difficult. Another text that I often go to, really to try to encourage our people, you know, in First Peter chapter 4, where Peter says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." And I think there are a lot of Christians who sort of feel, you know, this sort of pressure, this tension, the end of all things, and it can, you know, can things get any worse?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, again, it's a matter of perspective. You think about what the early believers experienced. And yet the exhortation that Peter gives is be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Keep loving one another earnestly. And so that's really what we try to encourage people to do. And as you can imagine, I mean, it's not just something that we experience in the church, but even on Core Christianity, we get all sorts of calls and perspectives. And that's one of the things I love about the broadcast is it's a pretty diverse group of people, Christians from all different backgrounds, who are calling in with questions about how to engage in the world today with all the things going on culturally, what it looks like for the church to be engaged, what's our engagement in the local church look like. And so a lot of these questions that many of us have, we get to tackle there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that broad, I guess you could say, the broad sense of the audience, it does. It goes through all the generations, and the topics seem to be across the board as well, not just current event type of things that has to do with the Bible, but general questions about discipleship, about salvation, and about how maybe some of them are dealing with their family members. What would be, in this remaining time that we've got on this first segment, Adriel, what would be some of the more difficult kinds of questions that you feel people are asking today?
You know, I would say that some of the most difficult questions we get at Core Christianity are the very personal pastoral questions. So people calling in wondering, about maybe a conflict in marriage or something like that. And of course, we try to encourage people by saying, hey, you need to be in a solid local church where people know you, where they know your family, where they can speak into your life. And we only have so much time on the broadcast, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to be able to respond to some really heavy stuff. And my heart is just sensitive to the fact that there are so many needs, so many serious needs out there in the body of Christ today, and people are looking for help. And so I think pastorally, some of the most difficult questions we get are those questions.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get just about everything, you know, from, you know, are aliens real? What about the dinosaurs? Personal questions about, you know, how can I know that I'm saved? And trying to speak into a person's life there, of course, that's, I know, a question that many believers struggle with. And so really, we get just about everything. There are no questions that are off limits. And I think that's what makes the program what it is.
You know, so many people that I can think of that would be, I think, very good in their knowledge of the Bible would still be intimidated out the window when it comes to doing a live call-in show. Because, again, there's not a moment where you can go back and I know you've answered that way before, you know, where you don't know everything. We know that. But there is that sense of tackling live and handling that with the grace that you do just seems to be a real gift from God.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's humbling, really. James, he talks about how everybody sins in their words. And nobody is perfect in their speech. And so I'm totally aware of that as I'm answering questions and just praying for wisdom. Obviously, I've spent, you know, a lot of my life devoted to the scriptures, studying the scriptures, both in college and in seminary, and now as a minister of the gospel. So and that's a part of my everyday routine as well, continuing to study the word of God, because we're all growing. So.
Remind our listeners where it was that you grew up. What part of the country?
Yeah. I grew up in Southern California, so I've been here my entire life. And I've been to Florida a few times as well and had a great time out there. But I'm from San Diego.
Mm. Hometown boy.
That's right.
Oh, and I'm sure it's changed a lot since you were young and growing up there.
Yeah, over the years. I mean, it seems like things are getting more expensive. That's what everyone is saying. And so that's one way in which it's changing that nobody is too excited about. But The sunshine, fortunately, does not change, and so I'm really grateful for that. And the beaches are still just as beautiful as ever.
Well, that's for sure. No doubt about that. You know, when people, they're hearing a lot about folks leaving California because of some of the aforementioned political problems and just the difficulties with the lockdowns of 2020. Are you seeing any type of exit happening from the population there in San Diego?
Yeah, you know, I think maybe a little bit. We haven't felt it as much in our church. I mean, obviously in San Diego, especially with being kind of a military town, there's a large Navy base around. There are always people who are in and out, you know, transferring with the military. But you know, I've heard the same thing. I've seen a little of it. Fortunately, in our church, there hasn't been a mass exodus. And we're committed to sticking it out and to saying, hey, we want to be faithful to the Lord. We want to have a presence here, proclaiming the gospel, engaging our neighbors and sharing the faith. And so it has been, I know for some, really difficult, especially the financial piece. And now, you know, where people can work remotely a lot more easily, and obviously the shutdowns in one sense revealed that in a very real way. And so there are a lot of people who are saying, well, hey, I can work remotely and purchase a house that I could never purchase in San Diego. And so that causes them to go elsewhere, taxes, those kinds of things. And so yeah, it's a real thing, but we're committed to sticking it out here and having a faithful presence in this part of the United States.
One final question before our break about California. With all that's going on in the recall of the governor out there, how is that impacting things in San Diego?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's you see people outside, you know, gathering petitions and whatnot. It's certainly a conversation that many people are having about the governor recall. And so, but again, you know, from where I'm at, my perspective in the local church is not something that we've talked about too much. But definitely, you know, people want to see the best for California and are wrestling through what that looks like. And so it's certainly a part of the discussion that many Californians are having.
Well, I've got on the line Adriel Sanchez from San Diego. He's the host of Core Christianity, and that's heard right here every afternoon in Florida time now at 2:32 in the afternoon. Comes on right before our program, and it's a live call-in show worth the listen if you haven't tuned it in yet. And it's also featuring Bill Meyer, a longtime broadcaster, and as Adriel mentioned, a person of great abilities and knowledge with regards to counseling himself. We'll be back with Adriel coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. On the line today with Adriel Sanchez. Adriel is the host of Core Christianity, and that's heard every afternoon at 2:32 across the Shepherd Radio Network in all of our cities. You know, we talked in segment one, Adriel, about the fact that people call in from a diverse background, from diverse ages, and really diverse kinds of questions are being asked you guys every day. And I love the grace. I love the humility. I love really what I believe is the gifting that God's given you, that in a real time to come up with an answer that is not only biblically sound, but is culturally informed, is, I believe, given with the greatest sense of bedside manner. If I could borrow from a doctor term, I mean, you guys just do such a marvelous job of compassionately answering these difficult questions. One of them that I believe is being asked of pastors across the country is, what in the world is going on to our country with regard to this sexual revolution that we hear about? In particular, the new emphasis by the political parties that lead our country of the LGBTQ plus movement. It just seems that we can't get away from this in any given day, right?
Yeah. Well, there have been some significant shifts, it seems, with regard to how people think about things like sexuality and gender. And for many, you know, it's as if all of this stuff just happened overnight in recent days. But actually, you know, there are all sorts of ideologies and philosophical, sociological streams that have been feeding into this over the last several hundred years in terms of how we think about truth, how we think about ourselves, how we think about our identities. And so we're really reaping a lot of what's been sown even many years ago. And it's devastating in many respects in terms of how we think about the family, in terms of how we think about ourselves. So often today, people, and I'm thinking in particular, you know, with sometimes how the language of identity is pitched in the context of LGBT discussions. You know, they think that their primary identity is rooted in their sexual desires. And of course, that's not what Scripture teaches. Mm-hmm. Scripture teaches that we are made in the image of God. And that's each and every one of us. And as image bearers of the Holy Triune God, we're called to live a certain way and to reflect Him and His goodness in the world today. And yet it's as if we've forgotten what that means. And people are rooting their primary identity, the core of who they are, in their sexual desires. And so there's just so much there. And obviously what gives me hope as we think about some of the big shifts we've seen is the fact that the gospel is big enough for this. That is, that the grace of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, is able to work in whatever it is that we're seeing around us. And I continually go back to the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples: I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have great confidence as Christians, holding fast to the truth of God's word, proclaiming the message of Christ, the free forgiveness of sins for all sinners, regardless of, you know, what your background is, what it is that you've experienced. I mean, Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, he says, you know, don't be deceived. These people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he gives this whole list of people. And in that list, he mentions those who practice homosexuality. And then he says to the Corinthians, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. And so the gospel is big enough for this. And that's the hope that I have. And I think that's the hope that we can all have as Christians.
You know, when you think about this issue, it's one thing to hear when you're not affected by it personally. You hear about it on a national level. You hear the things that are going on with new laws being passed and put into effect. And then you hear the stuff that's even now it's encroached the Olympics. Maybe some would say even it's become the biggest story of the Olympics, with the transgender athlete serving and competing there. And it's just hard. Again, it's hard to get away from, but it's an entirely different thing on a pastoral level when there's someone in your church who has either a son or a daughter or a close relative that's going into that direction in that lifestyle. And you get to now, you get to deal with that on a very intimate level, a very personal level. What advice do you have right now if someone in your church were to come? How do you advise people on how to handle this issue?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Let me just first say how not to handle it. And I think this is one of the pitfalls that many of us can fall into is we can see an issue, a problem that just seems so great. I mean, it's very different than maybe what you struggle with or what another person struggles with, and you just think, I don't know how to deal with this person who says that they're attracted to the same sex or says that they feel like their biology and their sex don't match up or their gender don't match up, that kind of a thing. And it just is like, well, boy, I have no idea how to handle this. So let's just avoid it altogether and ignore the problem. And I think it's not that people are trying to be rude. It's just that they really don't know how to address these issues. And again, it goes back to the hope that we have in scripture. And certainly these are many of these hopes very or many of these issues very complex issues, but at least beginning by saying, hey, we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that we live in a broken world. We know that our desires, because of that broken world in which we live, filled with sin, can at times be disordered. And there are some people who have disordered desires related to sexuality. We absolutely realize that, but there is hope in Jesus Christ because he's merciful, he's good because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we have to hold fast to that hope and I think press in and engage and grow together. Certainly, I think for many people, especially who are coming from that background, the sense is there any place for me or are my struggles, is my sin too big for the church? And I think that's where the church has to come in and say, no, the grace of Christ is sufficient. And of course, that doesn't mean that we condone sin or that we just continue in sin. It means that we welcome sinners and then we disciple them and we encourage them and we walk together with them, and we're all growing together in sanctification, as we say. And so I think that's really important in terms of this discussion, is just holding fast to that confidence that we can have in the work of God's Spirit.
What would you say when people would come and kind of really being upset about a relative that's going in this direction, and then they ask the question, should I continue to be in relationship at all with them because they're going in an obvious direction that the Bible calls sin? What would you say to that?
It's a great question, and it's one, Mike, that we've actually had on the program a couple of times, people calling in and asking that specific question. I think of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians as he's talking about church discipline in particular. And in that situation in Corinth, there was an individual in the church who was engaging in sin, and the Corinthian church hadn't dealt with it. And so Paul is exhorting them. He's saying, hey, you guys have to deal with the sin within the church. And then in the context of that discussion, he says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and the swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. And so it seems like Paul makes the distinction there. He says, look, if somebody is professing to be a Christian, maybe they're a part of the church, and they say, no, I'm living in this way, I'm going to engage in this kind of behavior. Well, the kind of communion that we have with them has to change because we want to communicate to them that this behavior is contrary to what they claim their identity is in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, deal with that. But if it's an individual, maybe it's an individual in your family who they don't confess or profess faith in Jesus Christ. And this is often, how it is. They don't profess faith in Jesus Christ. Well, then I think as Christians in that situation too, we're called to pursue them. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to seek and save the righteous. I came for sinners. He's the good physician. And so pursuing them in love, building a relationship, speaking the truth of the gospel while also caring genuinely for them as image bearers of God, worthy of of dignity and respect. And then even with family members, let's say, who do profess to be Christians, you know, when Paul is talking there in 1 Corinthians 5, I don't think that that means, you know, we shun them and completely cut them off. I think that the door still has to be open. We still have to express charity, even if we're saying we don't think that you're living in line with what you profess to believe. And it's important that you realize that, that mm-hmm. you see that there's a discrepancy between your professed faith and how you're choosing to live. And so it's important that we get this right. I think a lot of times, and this was the problem in Corinth, the church was unwilling to deal with the sin within the body of Christ, to exercise church discipline, while pointing the finger at all the sinners out there and being unwilling to engage in them. And Paul says, hey, you have it actually backwards. It's not that you're supposed to be out of the world as if you didn't exist in the world. No, you're in the world, but you're not of the world, and we're called to extend the truth of Christ, the grace of Christ, the love of Christ to sinners, even the sexually immoral who are outside. And within the church, we're called to be honest about what sin is and to hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm. You know, what would be so difficult, and in fact is so difficult, it would be the fact that there are so many now that are part of that lifestyle that would identify as either LGBTQ, and then you've got this wild card plus designation, which means something yet to be discovered, perhaps, or something yeah. else to add to that list, because we've seen that list grow over the last couple of years. But there's a good number of people now that are very defiantly and very openly saying that they are members of the believers. They are Christian. They are saved. And that is the difficult thing. There was a well-known singer, you've probably read about it as well, that was on a program, on a podcast, that was being led by one such person who is a country artist himself and part of the gay lifestyle, yet claims to be a born-again believer. And this young lady, who is a well-known singer, made a statement that it really doesn't matter whether you are or not gay. And I don't think the context, when I listen to her actual answer, I'm not convinced that that's what she meant. But that's what it's being picked up. And her words were at best unfortunate, the way she put them together. If pulled just out of context, it sounds terrible, but you've got this situation right now where it's easy to jump on a bandwagon, and we've got to be careful that we're not judging people who didn't mean to say what it sounds like they said.
Yeah. You know, I heard, I think, about that interview. I haven't seen the interview, so I don't want to comment on it, but I do know, as you were saying, that there are many people now who will say, well, I'm a born again believer, and I'm also gay and active in this lifestyle. I have a partner of the same sex, that kind of a thing. And Jesus just, this is what it means to love one another. And Jesus doesn't judge me. Don't you know the Bible says don't judge? What really breaks my heart and honestly makes me angry is when I hear pastors and church leaders condone people or condone certain actions. The Bible very clearly says, our sin, and essentially what they're doing is they're keeping people stuck apart from Christ. It's like the false prophets in Jeremiah's day, who Jeremiah rebukes, because the false prophets were going around Israel saying peace, peace, where there was no mm-hmm. peace. They weren't calling Israel to repentance and faith, and that's really what we need. That's what all of us need. It's not just the LGBT community. So we have to be willing to be honest about sin. And any pastor who is not willing to be honest about sin, to actually preach the gospel, I don't think should be a pastor, frankly, isn't a pastor, isn't a true shepherd of Christ's sheep. And so we have to be honest about what the Word of God teaches, because ultimately it's good. What God calls us to, what God's law calls us to, mm-hmm. Is good for us, is good for our neighbors. It's not just this idea of, hey, do whatever you want, and as long as you're not hurting anyone, everything is fine. No, we, when we sin, are actually hurting ourselves and the people around us. And so pastors need to be faithful and honest to others. And when they're not, what they do is they lead people astray, and they permit people to think in this way, I think.
You know, I agree. And, you know, one of the things that I think so many of them, these people who are claiming this, are really fearful, pastors who might be not at all given to this lifestyle or these laws, but yet they fear people in their congregation. They fear the law. They fear what's going on about maybe if I say this or if I take a stand on this, I'm going to lose my tax exempt status. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that pastors remember that the number one person that we want to get it right with is not the law. It's not the fellow church member. It's God and what he said.
Absolutely. What it really boils down to is the fear of man or the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, I think there's also this sort of strange idea that in order to really engage others and to be welcoming, you have to just affirm them in whatever it is that they believe. And of course, again, this isn't just I'm not just talking about LGBT issues here. I think that there are pastors who can be light on greed, light on pride, mm-hmm. light on arrogance, those kinds of things. And so we have to be willing to confront whatever it is, whatever the sin is, that's destroying the people in front of us,
wow.
both in our local churches and also outside in the world. And first and foremost, we're accountable to God. We're gonna have to answer for the way in which we spoke about Him and represented Him and His Word. And so, that I think, Mike, is a helpful distinction there, thinking about the fear of man and the fear of God, how so often it's the fear of man that drives us.
Mm-hmm. And we want to honor God. That's the most important thing. My guest today, Adriel Sanchez. We have one more segment coming up with him in a moment. We hope you join us after the break. This is Afternoons with Mike. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. On the line today with Adriel Sanchez from Core Christianity. Boy, the last segment, talking about things so important. Important in our culture, important in our churches, but most importantly, I believe important to God. And you know, when you think about what you do, Adriel, on a day in and day out basis with this live show, where people are able to ask you these questions, it really is a help because people are wanting to know what would be, I believe, could be defined as a biblical answer to a lot of the craziness that's going on in our culture. And I just want to say thank you for being willing to put yourself out there as one who can speak and not just from a standpoint of being, I have all the answers. I know you don't say that. You're one of the most humble people I've ever met, but somebody that is also willing to say, but God has said a lot to these issues, and you're willing to stand in the gap. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have a ton of confidence in myself, but I do have a lot of confidence in what God has said.
Yes.
And so I try to stick with that. And I think that's what people need to hear more than anything else anyway.
Boy, they do. Now, one of the things in our last segment here that I'd love to get your thoughts on would be this whole new issue. A year and a half ago, when you and I would have been talking in Nashville at the NRB, we would not have dreamed that the day would ever come that travel could be restricted on the basis of whether or not one had had a vaccine. I mean, that concept, that thought, with all that we've gone through in this country with regarding inoculations, flu shots, vaccinations, with all of the things that we've ever gone through, the idea is now seemingly new and not only pressing, but perhaps even urgently so, that that people are feeling this need to get this vaccine to combat this thing. And then there's this question, is the vaccine safe? Is it effective? Is it going to keep me from getting COVID? And we're hearing about people like Senator Lindsey Graham, who had the vaccinations, both of them, and still got COVID. What are you out there in California? How are you dealing with this COVID and vaccine question?
Yeah, this is another one of those questions that really can be divisive in the church today, and has been. I know I've heard people say I've lost friends over this, you know, because they were for vaccines or against vaccines. Obviously, one, I think we have to think about the category of wisdom, and also what it is that Scripture does call us to. It's really important as we think about these things that we're informed and that we're talking to people that know that what they're talking about. I think one of the things that's actually kind of been unhelpful in this entire time is social media. And of course, we've all been on it probably a little bit too much, because we've had more time, especially with the lockdowns. And frequently what happens is, you know, you get these sort of mudslinging competitions on social media where people, it just sort of contributes to the divisions. I know at least where I'm at in Southern California, I think the majority of people have gotten vaccinated, and there are many people who chose not to get vaccinated as well. And I think if I was looking at the church that I pastor, there's a diversity of opinion even there. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep going back. You know, in the ancient world, there were a series of plagues in the Roman Empire that were actually really, really devastating. I mean, many, many people were dying. And one of the things that was so notable about the Christians in that time is that when everyone else was fleeing the city, when even the physicians were fleeing the cities, there were Christians who were committed to caring for those who were in need, who were essentially laying down their lives. Many of them actually died in order to nurse people who had contracted the plague, essentially. And it was one of the things that caused the world to look at the church and to say, okay, there's something really distinct and different about these people. And I think, you know, in this discussion, as we're looking at a pandemic, and people are afraid for their lives, people are afraid for their safety, people are also afraid about their freedoms and losing their freedoms, I think it's really important for us as Christians to ask ourselves, how do I extend the love of Christ to the people around me, the people mm-hmm. who are afraid, the people who are suffering, the people who are concerned? How can we bring in the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word to bring a sense of peace and comfort? This whole pandemic has afforded me the opportunity to get to talk about Jesus with people who ordinarily I wouldn't not have had the opportunity to talk about the Lord with, because it's raising all sorts of questions about mortality, about justice. And so I'm sure you're seeing a lot of the same kinds of questions and divisions, even where you're at. And I'd be curious to know, you know, what the landscape is out there. But here, it's certainly one of the more divisive issues.
It certainly is. And I think it's becoming even regionally so. It seems that, like, for example, the opinions of Florida and Texas, because of the conservative notes of the governor and the kind of conservative governors, both governors, and the kind of openness, if you will, that both of these states, there's almost, it seems to me, in the little bit that I keep up with in the national news media, there's almost a giddiness. That's almost like people are overjoyed from some of the news people that these numbers in these two states in particular, ours being one of them, that the numbers of COVID cases are increased. And there's almost this kind of like a ratting of the fingers, a waving of the fingers backwards and forwards, saying, see, we told you so. You shouldn't be so open, you know. So there's a lot of bitterness, and it just almost feels like good old-fashioned guile that's being lived daily here. Instead of being part of the same country that we are, I think we've lost a lot of that sense of the American unity that we've enjoyed for many, many years, that we could say, I'm proud to be an American in the best sense of the word.
Yeah.
It seems like that's gone right now.
Yeah. Well, and like I said earlier, a lot of the divisions, a lot of the guile that you see outside in the world The danger is that that creeps its way into the church, that we within the body of Christ begin to have guile towards one another because of, you know, well, this person thinks X about vaccinations or what. And I think that's where we have to take a step back and say, hey, what does it look like for us as the church to set an example for the rest of the world of what it looks like even to disagree over issues that aren't clearly defined in God's word, to be able to be charitable to one another, to encourage one another, to love one another. This is a, really, I think, an opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to continue to be distinct from the rest of the world, even in how we engage with one another on social media, for example, you know, where you do see a lot of that mudslinging. We get to be witnesses of the work of God in our lives, of the grace of Christ that we've received as we extend that grace to the people around us. And that doesn't mean that these aren't, you know, not important issues. They certainly are. And it's, there's nothing wrong with having strong opinions about them. But certainly when that causes us to have hatred in our hearts toward another person, I think Jesus says something about that. And so that's where we really have to, again, take a step back, go to the Word, look at what God says, and exercise wisdom.
If you had a question that comes up to you on your program, and I'd love your answer on this one, about civil disobedience. You know, we know all, we've heard Romans 13, read it many times, obey the authorities and realize that authorities are themselves a gift from God and something that he's given us in our life. And yet, is there a time? And a lot of people in a lot of churches are asking because they can see the horizon. They could see what might be coming, where if there are mandates now that point us to these vaccination cards or vaccination passports, as they're being called, and they're saying, I'm not going to do that. That's not in my conscience to do. Then that's setting up what could be a civil disobedience to the governing authorities, be they state, be they federal. What are your thoughts about that?
That's a really good question. A very complex one as well, because there are all sorts of factors, I think, that we have to think about. You know, first, you mentioned Romans 13. When we're thinking about civil government, you know, the goal of civil government is to promote justice. And of course, like Paul says there in Romans chapter 13, the civil authorities are legitimate authorities given to us by the Lord. They're provisional also. That's another thing that I would say. We know ultimately that the kingdoms of this world are going to be taken over, if you will, by the kingdom of Christ, that in the new heavens and the new earth. It's God's kingdom that's going to reign. And so, you know, these civil governments that are around today, they're provisional. They're not going to be a part of the new creation. And they're common. You know, the government doesn't extend the salvation of Jesus Christ to people. That's the church's job. And yet they're also accountable. They're accountable to God's word, to God's law. One day they too, the civil authorities that are in place right now are going to give account to the Lord for how they governed, and hypocrisy and injustices are going to be dealt with. Certainly, as Christians, we're called to always obey God, and at any point where government calls us to do something that would be in disobedience to God, well, we obey God over man, and that's absolutely clear. So there are examples in Scripture of civil disobedience. If the government said, you can't preach Jesus Christ in the exclusivity of the gospel, we would disobey, because the King Jesus is the one who is over them.
That's right.
And who determines what we should preach. And so that's not what the state determines. That's what King Jesus determines. And we're faithful to him. And so, I, you know, that's the way in which I look at this.
You know, these are big things that we've talked about today, and your insights, your opinions, I believe are spot on, my friend. And I really have appreciated you spending this hour with us and giving us an opportunity to hear directly from you. We always love listening to your program, Bill. His additions, I love his little anecdotes at the beginning of the program That's a fun little feature as well.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely wonderful, and I love those too. Bill always has something neat to add.
Yeah, he does. I'm not sure where his source is for that, but wherever it is, it's well informed and usually very, very enjoyable. So tell him we appreciate him as well and the role that he plays. And Adriel, thank you for being willing again to put yourself out there on the line where you would open yourself up for criticisms by people who would say, yeah, well, I don't buy that. That answer was, hey, your answers are wonderfully deep, biblically informed, and I think theologically accurate. So thank you for what you're doing, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you guys, and grateful to be able to partner together to get the word out.
It is. And his show's on at 2:32 in the afternoon across the Shepherd Radio Network. Friends, thank you for being with me and Adriel Sanchez. We'll catch you next time here on Afternoons with Mike.